Glory to God. Aren't you thankful you know Him? Aren't you thankful that we have the freedom to gather together like we are now? And we have the privilege to hear Him. Do you understand that the Almighty is speaking to us this morning? There's 7.5 billion people about on this earth. And He knows every one of them in detail. And this world is so small compared to what's out there. I mean, it's too hard for our minds to wrap around. You know, you just, every time I go on a flight, you know, you look out the windows and everything gets smaller and smaller. You know, especially if you're going over a big city, and you just see this grid. If you're more in the Midwest, if you're out here, it's all squiggly. But, you know, it's in the Midwest, like Chicago or something. There's this grid of houses. And you look at what's like a neighborhood. All these houses, they become so small. And all the yards, and these, you know, like I'm looking at them going, that's a $1 million house, and it's just this dot. Or that looks like several $100,000, and it's this dot. But all these people, like it's like how many people are right there? And then you look up in the horizon, you just can't even see both directions. And that's just this small section of one country on the face of the earth that is much larger. And this world is so small compared to what's out there in the universe. Yet our God knows every bit of all of it, all the light years of space that there are. You know, it takes you light traveling at the speed of light years and years to even pass it. And He knows all of it. Yet He knows you and I. He hears us. And He would hear all billions of the other people on the face of the earth if they'll turn their face toward Him. The privilege that we have to talk to the Almighty God. It's amazing. I mean, we can't comprehend it. We just have to take it by faith and act on it and say, okay, you hear me. The fact that He is speaking to us right now, amazing. He'll speak to each one of our hearts. Why don't you look on your sheet, Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The New Living Translation in verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know, we spent some time on these things here, and I believe we're wrapping this up, but you know, we've gone through and spent time on different facets of this, that there is truth. God's word is truth. God's word is light. God Himself is true. And we need to make sure we're focusing on thinking on the things that are true. We know that there is a deceiver. We'll run through a couple of these scriptures just to set the stage. It's been a few weeks since we've talked about this. But we know that there is a deceiver, the enemy. John 8:44-45 there on your sheet says, you are of your father, the devil. This is Jesus speaking to the religious leaders. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So there is the enemy, the devil. He is a real being, and he is a deceiver. He's a liar. And there is lies in the earth today that he started. You know, men can think on their own, but he's prompted all evil on this earth. The Bible says the world, through death, or through sin, death spread to all men. So there is death in the world. There's death in thinking. There's death in sickness. You know, that people think wrong thoughts, which leads to death. There's death in relationships. And all this is started by the enemy. He corrupts what God has made good. He is a liar. He twists. And so we've been talking about how we have to be on guard for these things because they're in the earth. Ideas that are propagated in the earth are not all godly ideas. And in fact, there's a lot of good going on in the earth, but there's a lot of ungodly ideas, things that are propagated by the enemy and started by him, and ideas that he would push forward. And you have to counter those things actively. The world, but for the most part, is going after the ways of the enemy, not the ways of God. And they have been deceived by these lies. And so we have to be on guard when we think, when there's ideas of the world that try to make their way, and they have made their way into the church, into Christians' lives. And the only way you're going to be able to decipher what is true and what is not is through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. That's the only way. There's things that sound good and people they swallow them hook, line, and sinker all the time. They sound good, and even in Christian circles, they sound good. They're based on half a scripture, and people say, well, that sounds good, that must be true. But it doesn't line up with the wet rest of scripture, and it's deception. And ultimately, all deception will lead to death. It may sound good, may look good, but it's death if it's deception, if they're lies. The devil loves to use scripture to deceive Christians. Did you hear me? I said the devil will use scripture, and he likes to do that because it makes him sound like he is true. But you can take any scripture out of context. Anything. You can make the Bible say almost anything you want. And we've seen that. Corinthians 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." In the Amplified, it says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, using mere human weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God." There are many of these things. There are arguments, there are theories, there are reasonings, there are proud and lofty things that set themselves up against the true knowledge of God. We see this as much as ever, I would say. "And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." It means every thought that comes in, every idea that comes in that would present itself, we need to ask ourselves, is that true? Does that line up with the Word of God? Because there is so much in this world that does not line up with the Word of God, but is passed on as common belief. Well, everybody knows this now. That's not true. You've got to watch that. There are a lot of people in the world that form a consensus on something. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Is it true? Is it line up with what God said? We need to put everything through that filter. We need to understand that the devil is constantly trying to get a foothold in our lives. And one of the main ways he does this is through our mind. He's trying to get a hook and get you to think a certain way, because if he can get you thinking a certain way, your attention's going to go that way. And if he starts getting you down a certain path, he can add to it. His primary thing he's trying to get you to do is to doubt God and to believe lies about God and His faithfulness and His existence. This is what he did with Eve, right? He said, "Did God say? Did he really say that? Is this really true? Is this true in your situation? Is God really helping you? Is he really there for you? Did he really say this? Is his word really true?" This is his primary thing that he uses to hit Christians, because he's trying to separate people from God. Because if people are separated from God, they're His. It's that simple. And he uses a multitude of ways to accomplish this. If he can keep people from getting to God, he will. But for the Christian, he is perpetually trying to separate us from God, trying to get us to doubt God in one way or another. If you doubt, if you take a reasoning or something that would say, well, what about this, about God? It's putting distance between you and God. If you had somebody that you knew and, let's say, trusted in your workplace, but somebody else came and told you, well, did you know this and this about them? Did you know they said this about you? And what if it wasn't true? But they're just trying to pull you away from that person, get you to doubt them. Well, next time you're in that person's presence, let's say you have a decent relationship with them. Maybe it's not super close to where, you know, you just bring it up right away. But, you know, you've started to trust this person and you're not sure. Super close friends or whatever, but you trust them. And somebody kind of says, well, you know, they've been saying this and this about you. And they believe this and such, and try and getting you to think a certain way. Next time you're in that person's presence, you may be wondering, did I read that person right? Did I read you right? I'm not sure about you. Now I don't know if I trust you. There's distance, whether you know it or not. Now, if you were to start entertaining those thoughts and believe them fully, you could break away from that person. Now, if you knew them very close, let's say they tried to divide you between you and your spouse, or divide you from your spouse, I'm telling you, if anybody tried to say anything to me about Shelley, I just wouldn't. I mean, I'd be like, who are you, number one? I don't care who it would be. I know Shelley very well. I trust her completely, without any reservation whatsoever. If anybody were to come and say, you know, but Shelley's been doing such and such, or she said this about you, I'd say, go away. Who are you? I mean, I don't believe it. And I would talk to her about it. Say, such and such said this about you. And I would have no problem going right to her and saying, this is nonsense, and talking to her. I would not be going in and accusing her, but I would talk to her. Well, that's a picture of where we are with God. The less we know Him, the more we might be like, well, I don't know. Somebody, we hear a thought, we hear an argument, a reasoning about our God, and if the less you know Him, you might say, well, I don't know. Maybe that's true. There's a lot of thoughts out there, a lot of theories. I don't know. Maybe I don't believe the right thing. But the closer we get to Him, the more we know His Word. When something comes up that contradicts the Word, we say, well, no, that's wrong. His Word. How do you know God? Primarily through His Word. Now, you have a relationship with Him through His Spirit, but that doesn't... People have all kinds of so-called spiritual experiences, weird. They can get into weird stuff, and then they try to say it's God, but if it clearly contradicts this, it's not God. Period. The more you know the Word, the more you are insulated from deception. Just knowing the Word. Because somebody says something, you'll say, wait, that's not true. God's Word says this. There could be whole bunches of people going off and following this person, and they're basing something on a half of a scripture, or a few half of scriptures, or some scriptures taking something out of context, and they're saying, this is great, this is awesome. And if you know the Word, you can say, and in this case, maybe there's 3-4 scriptures off the top of your head, you can say, yeah, but what he's saying contradicts this, 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 and this. And you can say secure and strong. And somebody says, well, God is saying this. God told me this. And if you're not secure, don't know Him, you might think, well, did God say that? I mean, that's not God I know, but I don't know. I wonder, and you might stop, and there might be some distance between you and God. But the closer you are to Him, the more you know Him, the more you know His Word, you can say, well, no, that's not God. No, that's not Him. He doesn't do that. And you can reject it. But this is constant. Whether you know it or not, all of us are being bombarded with things that aren't true. And because they're arguments of the enemy continually trying to pull men away from the Lord. So specifically, before we go there, I want to end up in Luke. I want to get back to Luke for a little bit. We talked about that, where Jesus is, the devil comes directly to to the Lord, and we see a picture of this. But before we get there, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. I don't think this is on your sheet. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. I just want to read this. This will be shed some light on a few things, I think. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the message or the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block or an offense, and to the Greeks foolishness." Or the Gentiles. That means the people that were not Jewish. "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." I want you to notice a few things there. Number one, it says in verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Do you notice that? This is, the Bible said this, written roughly 2,000 years ago. It flat out says that the cross, the word of the cross, the message of the cross, is foolishness to those that are perishing. It's not a surprise. Well, people just think that Christianity and the word about Jesus, some people mock it and some people deride it and just say it's just fables. That's what the word says they'll do. It says they flat out think it's foolishness to those who are perishing. This is not surprising. This is normal. People that don't believe God, don't believe His Word, the Bible says it's foolishness. You need to take, every person has to take what God says by faith. You have to take it by faith. Well, I want to figure it out. We just said, when we were starting out, we're not going to understand everything. That doesn't mean you shut your brain off, but the Bible says flat out, the things of God are going to seem foolish. And who's going to help those things seem foolish to people? The enemy will. Who is the one that's telling men they're foolish? Because they're not actually foolish. The Bible says, it says they're foolish to those that are perishing, but that to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. The reality is, the message of the cross is the power of God. The perception from people, certain people, is that it's foolishness. The fact that it's the power of God, that's actually the truth. The fact that it's, or the perception that it's foolishness, is deception. Because if the actual thing that's power and that will change people's lives is looked at as foolishness, then they will reject it and they won't actually get what they need from God and they'll be separated from God. This is a tactic. This is what the enemy does. He's telling men, you don't want anything to do with that. That's weird. That's foolish. God came to earth in the form of a baby. What? Through a virgin? And died on the cross, and then somehow magically that makes us all saved. Oh yeah, whatever. Tell me another fairy tale. People are very cynical. And they're mocking the Almighty, the Christ. Every knee will bow to Jesus. Everybody's going to know that, oh, that's not actually foolish. He's actually the risen Christ. Wow, that did happen. But it's too late. I said it's too late at that point. Now, God's just. Every person will have the chance to reject Jesus, one way or another. God is just. But we have the opportunity. We know from the Word that there is a deceiver that goes about clouding men's mind and trying to get them to believe it's foolishness when in actuality it's the very thing men need. It's the very thing that will set them free. Well, Satan's not stupid. If that's the thing that's going to set men free, he does everything in his power to get men to ridicule, to push away, to think that's nothing, to think they're too smart, which is very ironic because the person, Satan, is much smarter than any person you know, and he is actually way, way, way more intelligent than any person. But what he'll tell these people that are pseudo-intellectual and sometimes, you are so smart you don't need it. A being that is, I'm talking about naturally speaking, is much smarter than any person on the face of the earth. He knows much more. He's been around for ages. His capacity to think is beyond ours. Yet he will tell somebody, you're too smart for that. And these people will bite it. And in actuality, he is leading them right where he wants them, separating from God. You're too smart to believe in God. What's the end game? If you believe in God, I have no power over you. He hates God. Guys, this is so clear. I see this so clearly. It's so simple. But it's been so clouded in the world. And I think that's part of it. People say, well, you want to believe simplicity. I mean, generally, Christian, it's just this fairy tale. It's not that complicated. There is a devil. There is a God. The God hates the devil. A three-year-old can understand what I'm saying. This is the type of things they teach them back there. God's good. The devil's bad. The devil does not like God. And the devil does not like you. So anything the devil says, you don't want anything to do with. Anything that God says, that's what you want to follow. So if the devil's trying to get you to do something, that's what you reject. Anything that's opposed to the Word of God, that's what you reject. You believe God, reject whatever God has not said. And just know as adults, know as kids, that yes, people that are unbelievers are going to think the message is foolishness. The Bible says that. I just can't believe these unbelievers. The Bible tells us they're not believing God. They're sinners, if you want to use that word. That means they have not received Jesus. Doesn't mean you're better than them, just in your own natural self, so we shouldn't take a haughty attitude. On the other hand, we ought to know, it should be no surprise when people that don't know God ridicule God. And don't want anything to do with them. Why? They're under the sway of deception. Because just think of it this way. If somebody is saying that, they're actually quoting Satan, who actually does hate God. None of this stuff just comes from men themselves. From the beginning, Adam and Eve were there. There are no other people to influence them. And the enemy comes in and influences them to go against God. And he has not stopped. So, yes, people think things that have to do with God or foolishness, and there's lots of ideas out there. You have to very much watch or take heed to what you're paying attention to, because these the enemy's trying to get a foothold in our mind. Verse 19 says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age or debater of this age? The devil loves to debate because he's smarter than you are. If he can get you to debate, he'll win. I think it's interesting that people want to try to debate with unbelievers. Look, if the Word of God is truth, and somebody's they're going to say this means nothing, and they want to debate outside this, you've just stripped away, and I get it. Well, you can't prove anything outside of the Bible. You prove it to me. Well, you just stripped out what is truth. If this is really truth, and you want to debate just on stuff that's not proven to be truth, then you're totally over here. See, it takes faith to believe that this is true. Well, we got to convince them. The Bible does not say to go into all the world and convince everybody and debate with them. It does not say it. I said it does not say that. It says to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, and then every man has a decision whether they're going to believe it or not. That's a choice. So we're not supposed to debate. You're not supposed to debate the enemy either. You just use the word. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God through the world, through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Those who believe what God has said and ordained, that He did send His only Son to the earth, born of a virgin, that God Himself walked on the earth, that seems foolish to the Greek mindset. The mindset that that the modern world has, it seems like foolishness, but it pleased God to save those who would believe it. In spite of it, say, God, You said it. I believe it. Therefore, I'm going to act on that. Verse 22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Notice, we preach Christ crucified. What's that? To declare. We're saying, Jesus was crucified for us. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. Doesn't mean anything. Dismissive. Ignorance. Verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Or the perceived foolishness of God. Of course, God is not foolish. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So anything God has, the light things that God knows, are He knows things that He would consider basic. And they blow away anything that any person on the face of the earth can articulate. In other words, His kindergarten material surpasses any degree here. The things He knows, He doesn't question. He doesn't have to ask anybody how anything works. You know, when I was on the flight back from Europe, I was looking for something that was actually decent to watch. It's not easy, but there was a, you know, how things work or something, a 20-minute thing, and they show how different things are made, and they were showing how wine was bottled and made, and then they were showing how Gore-Tex was made, the waterproof material. But God already knows all that stuff, and He knows far more. He doesn't ever have to find out how stuff is made. In fact, men came up with those things. He knows better ways to do all that stuff, and far more. He's infinite. The things that people would be the things that aren't even hard for Him that are easy. Say nothing's too difficult for God. That's true. But the Bible says he when He raised Jesus from the dead, it was the strength of His right arm that raised. It was like the power of God that raised Him from the dead. Well, that power of God, maybe, you know, to do something light on the earth, that power is more powerful than the strongest thing that men could come up with. He is so infinite and vast. It's like saying He has more strength in His pinky fingernail than men have in all of humanity. I mean, he's infinite. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we expect the enemy to call the Word of God foolish. We expect the enemy to call the cross foolish. We expect to hear thoughts. We expect to hear attacks that would call the Word of God wrong, foolish, backwards, whatever. That would be expected because we're dealing with a being that's trying to distance us from God. So you will see this is the constant challenge in life, is to stay on God's side. And the more you get to know Him, the more we know when we have history with Him, when we've seen Him day after day and year after year, then even when we see something that doesn't look maybe to our natural eyes like God is there, like God is helping us, like God is sustaining us, we can know from His character and from His Word that that's a lie. That's not true, because God can't change. But we need to understand that there are many thoughts in this world that would tell us otherwise, and then if we listen to those thoughts, they'll actually pull us away from God. Look at your sheet real quick, Ephesians 6:10, trying to get to Luke. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles," or the schemings, "of the devil." So he is going to come at us with schemings and wiles and deceptions. He's going to be calling things that we believe. He's going to challenge them. He is scheming. He comes at us with plans, with plots, if you will. Do you understand that the enemy has a plot to try to overthrow your faith? And he comes at us with these schemings, with these plots. And the Bible here is saying, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against those schemings, against those attacks. That he is, we have to know that he will do that. And that they're going to be lies. And they're going to try to put a wedge. That's what he tries to do, put a wedge between you and the Lord. Verse 14 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist, what? With truth. Number one, gird your waist with truth. We have to know what the truth is and stand on the truth and counter with the truth. The Bible doesn't say to try to figure everything out. The Bible does not say to come up with your own arguments. The Bible says, just stand with the truth. That means our counter to any deception, any scheming, any plot, anything that would try to disparage God or try to separate us from God, try to make us doubt God, try to weaken our faith, the counter for that is truth. Truth that has not been diluted whatsoever. You don't have to come up with your own ideas, your own articulate speech or debate. You just need to counter with the Word. You don't have to counter every point that if you're being attacked and there's these thoughts. You just need to come to what the Word says and just say the Word. Don't try to figure everything out. Don't try to figure out, an intellectual argument. Necessarily, You need to just counter with what God says is the truth, because you know that that stands for all time. You don't have to. If you try to figure out how this fits into your situation, you may miss some things if you try to articulate. But if you just counter with the Word, you know that has already been vetted, that has already been tried, that is already true, and it is. It will work. It's loaded. Your argument may have holes in it. You just don't understand it yet. But the Word does not. The Word is truth. Pure truth. Concentrated truth. You know, when we were growing up, I mean, I'm sure they have this now. We just don't buy it at my house anymore. But you had orange juice that was concentrated, you know, the little tubes of concentrated. And so we would just, if the orange juice ran out in the refrigerator, we would go and you get it out of the freezer and you take the little zip tie at the top, undo that, and then you pull off the metal and then you dump it into the container and then you go run water on it and you take the spoon and break it all up and mix it till it was good. Well, what is that? That's orange juice, concentrated. I mean, it's just concentrate. They take all the liquid out of it, and then you got this concentrate. You try to eat that, I mean, it's really sweet. It's really loaded, right? That's what we need to take against the enemy, is just flat out, not watered down, not a bunch of flowery stuff, not a bunch of feel-good stuff. Just counter with the raw, undiluted truth. And it's loaded. It will do the job. The enemy, that's one thing he can't handle, is the Word of God, is faith. He can't deal in that realm. That's why he's trying to get us discouraged, and he's trying to attack our faith more than anything. Just look around. Things in the world tell you there's no God. If you believe in God, other people believe in God too, but they believe different. So that doesn't mean yours is right. You believe in healing? Well, why isn't this working in your body right now? Or what, you know, just any number of things that he's trying to attack. What's the thing he's trying to attack? Your faith. Why? Because he can't deal with faith. Because you're dealing on God's level then. If God said it, and you believe it, and you won't move from it, then that means what God said has got to come to pass in your life. So what's the enemy going to do? He's going to try to get you to disconnect from your belief in God's Word. How does he do this? By deception. He comes out, he tries to attack your belief. He tries to get you to disconnect from the Word. Disconnect. And so if you'll, the counter, if you'll come with just the Word, just the Word, just the Word, and stay there, and he'll say, yeah, but what about this? If you go over and step aside from the Word and say, well, what about this? Well, and try to explain it in your reasoning, he'll jump on that so fast. Why? Because you can't deal with him in the intellectual realm. It's a bait for you to think you can. You're no person. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to deal with the enemy in the intellectual realm. Did you hear me? Some of you are not convinced of that. I'm not saying you shut your brain off. I'm saying when he attacks the Word, you don't go in the reasoning realm. You go in the faith realm. You say, because see, he knows that God knows the truth. He was there when certain things happened. He knows what God has done and doesn't and has not done. But you weren't there. And I wasn't there. You know? We in here, we haven't lived on the earth but for a few decades. So he'll push on you, try to get you to start countering with your reasoning. And he sets you up in pride. Well, you know, you've read this and this. Yeah, I have. And try to get you. He's baiting you. He'll bait us like we're little children, because we are. He knows how we work. He's not God. He's not all-powerful. But he tries to bring things that would distract us and try to pull on us and try to get us off the truth of God. And if he can get us over in the realm of reason and try to just try to deal with the situation based on our mental capacity, we will get defeated every time. Did you hear me? On the other hand, if we will take what is tried and true and tested, the Word of God, the word, Proverbs, don't turn there, but Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. You can write it down, look it up later. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Pure means tested, refined, found pure. If we'll go with what the Word says, it is pure, it's tested, it's refined, it does not fail. And if we'll go with that weapon and go back at Satan with the Word of God, he can't deal with it. There is nothing that can stand in the face of the Word of Almighty God. It's already been tested. It's already been found true. It will never find, no one will ever find a hole in it. They will never be able to refute it. It's true for all time, for all people. And so if we'll counter with the Word, the enemy has to flee. He can't deal with it. He has no answer for it. He has to flee. He can't come up with an argument that will make the Word of God to no effect. If we'll stay with the Word. What's the only way he can do that? If we'll sidestep it and start getting off the Word. But if we'll stay centered up with the Word and come back with the Word. And your mind may be saying, yeah, but, that's the battle. That's the battle, is to keep in line with the Word and say, no, the Word's true. No, the Word's true. No, the Word's true. Yeah, but what about this? Nope, this, it just quote the Word again. Yeah, but what about, don't try to get off, that's a distraction. That's trying to get you off here. Nope, the Word. Nope, the Word. Nope, the Word. The Word says this. Yeah, but what about this? You can think about, the Word says this. Word. 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 Yeah, but in your situation, what does the Word say? And I'm just going to say, I'm going to keep saying the Word. I'm going to keep saying, that's my counter. You know what that does? That removes the, how should we say it? That takes away the distance between the fact that it's you saying it, but it's God's Word. So it removes that gap. And it becomes like God Himself speaking through you, and His Word has to come to pass. The uncertainty, anything you add to the Word, now that's not stable. That's not secure. That has not been tested. But the Word has. And so if we'll say the Word, it is as solid as it gets, and the enemy can't push around it. He can't find an argument to refute it. It has to stand. So if we'll just stay holding to that Word, speaking the Word, He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Yeah, but He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Yeah, but your dad had this or your mom. No, He Himself. And just quote it. Don't move off it. Yeah, but look at this. Yeah, but it's been He Himself. Took. You say that's just too simple. But it gets, people get off it all the time. We're all guilty of listening to the wrong thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Go over to Luke. Luke Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to them, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." So notice what he's doing. He is reasoning with him. If this, then that. This, he's baiting Jesus. Can you see this? If you're the Son of God, then command this stone to become bread. If you are who you think you are. If you're indeed God, you said, well, he know without a doubt. He was walking as a man on this earth. He had to come to the knowledge that he was the Son of God. He had to operate as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He didn't know everything. How did he know certain things? By the word of wisdom, by the word of knowledge. Now, he had the Spirit without measure. We have it by measure. But he was operating as a man. And so Satan is testing him, is pushing him, is trying to bait him. And he's trying to get him to take a command from himself, from Satan. Satan is trying to command Jesus and trying to get him to bow the knee to him. If you are the Son of God, do this. Well, Jesus takes his orders from God the Father through the Holy Spirit. You don't ever want to do something that the devil tells you to do. Well, you know, you've been around, you should do this to show such and such. If it's the devil telling us to do it, I don't care what he's telling me to do. I'm not doing it. Well, it won't hurt. Just prove it. Anytime you feel like you need to prove something, that's wrong. Our security and our strength ought to be in God and in what he's told us to do, not because we're supposed to prove it to somebody. That's exactly what the devil's here. He said, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Notice he didn't even deal with his accusation that he wasn't, that he was the Son of God. He didn't feel the need to prove himself and to prove that he was the Son of God. He didn't say anything else but the Word. He came back with the Scripture that countered it. Undiluted. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You live by the Word of God, not by some dare of Satan. Did the Bible say it? Did the Lord say it? Verse 5, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.' Verse 7, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" He came back again with the word. Said, "Satan, you're lying. Get out of the way. This is the word." Verse 9, "Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written," now he's quoting Scripture. Satan is quoting Scripture. Just because you hear Scripture, just because somebody quotes Scripture, you have to divide it by the rest of the Word of God. So anytime you hear somebody say something, the Scripture, you ought to be asking yourself, do I know other Scriptures that agree with that or disagree with that? That's how you know truth, that you interpret the Bible by the Bible. And if you hear a Scripture said and you know other Scriptures that contradict it or you believe contradict it, get that settled. Either you're missing something or what you're hearing is wrong. And if something bothers you, you hear somebody say, and you're like, man, that sounds so good, I want to believe that, but there's this truth or this Scripture that I've read, I can't get past it. I want to believe this, but every time I go by this part in the Bible, it's like, I don't know how those two jive. This really sounds good, but don't ignore that. You get that settled in your heart and your mind that how those two reconcile. Because that's God will protect you with that. The truth. The enemy knows. He tries to go around. He tries to say, yeah, well, the Bible says this. Surely you believe the Bible. But what else does the Bible say? Where else in the Bible does it address these things? For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So he's trying to tell Jesus what to do, and he's trying to give him Scriptures on why he should do it. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so he came back again, what? Just with the Word. Said, no, but the Word also says this. So those other Scriptures are not in a vacuum. You don't ever try to build doctrine or make major decisions based on a Scripture or a part of the Scripture. You need to understand what the Word says on a subject in order to move forward. Jesus said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So Satan left. He was defeated with the Word, but it didn't say he would leave forever. It said he would leave until a more opportune or an opportune time. So he will come back. He will try to push you. He will try to deceive you. That's why we need to know what the Word says. We need to know that we need to counter with the Word, and we need to know that we can't just let down at different times, because not in a way that you should be afraid, but you need to know that the enemy is trying consistently to undermine our faith. Amen.